your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Kings, chapter number 17. 1 Kings, chapter number 17. We'll have prayer time and missions letters as the Lord leads here. And if you would turn to 1 Kings, chapter number 17, that would be a great blessing. All right, we're going to start reading in verse 1, and we're going to read through to verse 24, and then we're going to focus on a certain area, and hopefully the Lord will use that. We'll be done at 8:15. Some of the kids have to get home to school, and so we'll get them home. And what is the last day of school, public school here in Kalispell?
June 9th.
Okay, very good. I'll write that down. Right. 1 Kings chapter 17, and remain seated and read with me, read quietly as I read aloud, chapter number 17 and verse number 1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. Verse 6. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Verse 10. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks, and he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in the vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance, and to slay my son? Verse 19. And he said unto her, Give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom, and carried him into a loft where he abode, and laid upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord, and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, See, thy son liveth. And the woman said to Elijah, Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. So let's pray, and then we'll focus on a certain portion of what we read. Thank you, Father in heaven, for your goodness to us. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, that your word is faithful and true, and you accomplish everything that you say you will. We are so glad that we can trust it. Help us, Lord, to step out by faith, to obey your word. Lord, you know where we're at. You know where our next step needs to go. So we pray that you'd open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And Lord, as a lamp unto our feet, just show us the next step and help us to be obedient to you. We pray for everyone in here that knows you as personal Savior, that they would be encouraged, strengthened, and helped tonight. And we pray for anyone that does not know you, maybe young ones that are in the back. I just pray for you to speak to their hearts. And Lord, at your time, help us, Lord, to lead these children to Christ. Help us, Lord, to lead anyone to Christ that comes into these walls that does not know you. We pray for the memorial that you would be, that you would bless it and help me to preach it. Give me the strength for it. Give me the wisdom for it. And I pray that many souls would be reached through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So here we have a portion of scripture that we're probably quite familiar with. I must tell you, I say that, but yet when I was in my early 20s, I had not read this portion of scripture, not until I was in my mid-20s. So to take it for granted that everyone knows it might be a little bit presumptuous. But a lot of us know the story because we've heard preachers come in and preach maybe faith promise and preach principles from this passage of scripture. And so tonight, I want to talk about the will of God, and I want to start in verse number 8. As we look at it, I hope that we're open to the will of God for our life, and that we will do and be exactly where God wants us to be. Verse number 8, look at it, chapter 17, verse 8, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying. So the word of God has always come to the prophets that God chose to give the word of God through. And we have the full revelation of the word of God from Genesis to Revelation. There's groups that say, well, there's more to it, and there's this, and there's that. No, there's not. This Bible, I just read a critique. Someone said, well, you know, the King James Bible, it's good and everything. And then they said, but. And you know what I do with their book when I read that? I scratch it off with ink, and I usually throw the book away. Because the Word of God is all truth. It is perfect. It's preserved in our King James Bible, and throughout the generations, we have a pure record of how God would come to the prophets and how he would give them the word of God, and the prophets would give out the word of God, and as it was received, faith was increased in the land, but if it was rejected, it was usually just went downhill from there, and God's judgment would come. So here we have another instance where the prophet Elijah hears from God, and in verse 9, he is told, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Now, just imagine if you got on your phone and you're going to take a trip to Missoula, and you put on your phone, you didn't know exactly how you're going to get there, so you mapped it out and you press go, and it says turn left here, turn right there, turn left here, and go straight here. But you decided that you're just going to go your own way, and you got to Big Fork. Instead of making going straight at the light, you made a left, and you went into the mountains, and you took your own road. You wouldn't get there to Missoula. And that's how a lot of Christians are. They're like, well, I did what God wanted me to do. I got saved. Praise God, you got saved. You're a child of God. You know God. God speaks to you. You hear him. You have conviction in your heart when the word of God is preached. But you stay there. You stay there, but you don't go there where God wants you to go. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, number one, be there. The will of God. Here we find the will of God for Elijah is a place. He says, there. In verse 9, there's two theres, and then there's another there. In verse 10, there's another there. And in verse 4, feed thee there. And so there is a place in the will of God, and God has a place for us to be in the will of God. Some people, they pretend that they are so spiritual that they don't need church. And so they won't come to church, and they'll give an excuse why they're not in church. They'll say, well, we can have church anywhere. The Bible says, where two or three are gathered together, there am I also. So they use that to say, well, we can just have church in our house. When you study it out, you know that the assembly of God is a called out assembly of saved, baptized believers meeting together to fulfill the Great Commission, that is, to obey what Christ left us, the church, to do before he went back to heaven. And he hasn't said, time, hold on, it's time to just, rest. Jesus hasn't told us that. And he did say, well, yeah, the commandment is finished, you're all done. He hasn't said that. So I just want to provoke you tonight. Have you been saved? Do you know the Lord as your personal Savior? If you do, and you know that beyond a shadow of a doubt, praise God for it. We all come the same way. We all come at the foot of the cross, humbling ourselves, saying, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior, and we don't pretend like we can save ourselves because we can't. And so we call out to Jesus Christ, and we ask him to save us from hell so that we don't have to burn in the lake of fire for all eternity, because Jesus paid it for us, and he saves us. And I don't know where your there was. Maybe your there was in a church. You came to an altar where you confessed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You got saved there. I don't know if you got saved at home. I got saved at a camp. And it was because John 3:16, somebody shared John 3:16 and convicted me, and God met me there, and I got on my face before God and I asked him to save me. That's where I was saved. And you can get saved anywhere. It doesn't have to be at camp, it doesn't have to be at church, it doesn't have to be at home. It can be anywhere when God speaks to you, but that is the place where you should say, yes, I receive you, Jesus Christ, as my personal Savior. The there, the will of God. How's our attitude in the will of God? Sometimes we can be in the will of God and we can be at the right place, but our attitude and our motivation, and that's not something that I can call into question, is something that we have to say, God, is my motive right? Is my attitude right? Am I obeying you at the place where you have me? Look at verse number 9. And dwell there, behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. If God says go to Missoula and we only make it to Big Fork, we're not there. We're not where God wants us to be, right? And God is patient. He is long-suffering. He loves us, but he wants us to be in the will of God because he has people that he has commanded also in the place where he commands us to be. One thing that God commands all of us, not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but so much the more as you see the day approaching. We see that the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. The world is getting more wicked and wicked all the time. And we should be meeting together, and we should be kind one to another. As believers, we encourage one another. We pray for one another. When we see each other, we say, it is good to see you, brother. Good to see you, sister. I'm so glad you're here. Are you troubled today? Is there anything I can do to help you? That's how we treat one another. We want to help one another. And we want to provoke one another to good works so that we can glorify God together. Number 2, she's there. Okay? She's there. The woman was there to sustain him. Look at verse number 10. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks, and he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. Now, it seems selfish from our point of view. Here's an old woman. She's got a child. She doesn't have anything left. The water is not in abundance. There's a drought, but it's all because of the will of God. The will of God told the prophet, pray that it would not rain. And he prays, and it didn't rain. And there's a drought. And people are starving. People are hungry. And God can use a time like that to draw people to himself. But unfortunately, a lot of the lost world and the wicked world, they won't pay attention to God, no matter how bad it gets. And God tries to use those times to draw them to himself. So we're here, and we see what kind of a wicked time we live in, and all the ungodliness that's going on. And you know what we should be doing? We should be looking for someone to be there. Someone that God has placed. We're the will of God. We're doing the will of God. and looking for someone that God puts on our path that we can share our faith with, that we can encourage. There's maybe a believer that gets discouraged, and we say, you know what? Stop just looking at the bad news and focus on what God has us here for. Amen? We can focus all day long on how bad our president is and how wicked the administration is, and they are. But you know what? God is in charge. And matter of fact, in Romans chapter 13, he tells us that he ordains government. So God, I believe, has given us what we deserve. You can say about me what you want, but I believe that God can change that president and give us a godly man anytime he wants. But yet he has let that man be there for a reason.
Amen.
And here's us Christians. We get bitter. And God says, don't love America more than you love me. Now listen, I'm where you are. I'm made of the same stuff. And I can get frustrated. And the wickedness going on. And I hate it. And the abuse of different people. I absolutely hate it. But I also know that God has people to come into our pathway that we can share our faith with and that we can challenge in their faith. There's no doubt some people are going to get discouraged. When we're in the will of God, we'll meet people that are discouraged. Look at verse number 11 and 12. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. I don't think the prophet would have done this if he had not been in the will of God and if he hadn't heard the word of God. But because he heard God and God told him what to do, God told him what to say, God told him what to pray. So he says this, and this is a challenge to the widow and in her faith. And he said, verse 12, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not, and she said, excuse me, and she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse, and behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. You think she's discouraged? You think she's kind of saying, well, this is the end of the line? I have nothing more? Well, sure. She's had a situation where if we were in the same situation, it hasn't rained for 3.5 years, people are dying all around you, and you see that your food is running out, and there's nothing in the garden, there's no well for just getting water, and you get to the place, and you're like, we're done. And yet God's not done. God sees the prophet, God sees the problem, God sees the widow, God sees the situation, and God sends help. God's going to send help for you.
Amen.
God's going to send help for you. Sometimes you get to the end of the line and you feel like there's nothing left. I've got nothing more to give. And God doesn't want you to give up. And that's one of the things that he does through prophets and through preaching and through pastors and evangelists and so on, to come in and to challenge us in our faith so that we'll stop looking at the situation and try to fix it ourselves, but that will depend upon a holy God that sees each and every one of us, that sees every problem, sees the future, knows exactly, and he's interested. You know what he's interested in? In building your faith and my faith. That's what God wants to do. He wants to build our faith. Now look at verse number 13. And Elijah said unto her, fear not. God doesn't want us to fear the situations, the challenges that we have. There is a fear of God where we reverence God, absolutely, but he doesn't want us to fear the situation. He says, fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. She's being challenged in her faith. She knows what she's got left. But the prophet, by the word of God, says, do this first. And she does it. And God blesses it. So I just want to ask you, what's your next step of faith? We just had Faith Promise Missions Conference. Many cards handed in. Many people stepped out in faith, right? Absolutely. What a great thing. What an encouraging thing. But I'm asking you to just ask yourself, what's your next step of faith? Is it to maybe lay your anger and your frustration at the altar and just leave it here tonight and say, God, I am done trying to fix it myself and I'm putting it in your hands? Or is it, well, I'm not sure if I'm saved or not. I keep battling with it and I want to get that settled. And we would be here tonight and we would help you to settle it and we show you from the Word of God and you do as the Word of God. Is that your step of faith? How about you've been saved and you haven't been baptized? God wants you to be rewarded when you get to heaven. So you get saved, why don't you get baptized? Get baptized if you know for sure you're going to heaven. If you don't, we don't want to baptize you. If you haven't been born again, we don't want to baptize you. I'm not interested in how many numbers we have in baptism. I'm interested in just you simply by the Word of God, you say, this is my next step. I stepped out in faith, I got saved, and now I need to get baptized. That's your first step of obedience, and God blesses that first step of obedience. And then after you do that, you say, what's my next step? Well, maybe you're struggling with love in the world, and the world has such a grip on you that you would come to an altar and you would say, Lord, I'm giving it to you. I don't want to be a friend of the world. I want to be a friend of God, and I'm giving this up for you. I remember the day where God convicted me of the music that I would listen to. And I remember what I did with them at first. I thought, well, I'll just keep them and I'll scratch them up. And I tried scratching them up. Couldn't scratch them up enough. And I could still, if I wanted to on a bad day, and if I got tempted, I could put them in the CD player and listen to them again. So I remember I got a whole bunch of CDs and I lit them on fire. Put gasoline on, lit them on fire, and I made sure I destroyed them in such a way where I could not use them anymore. You know what I was doing? I was saying, I don't want to be a friend of the world anymore. These lyrics, you know, you hear talk show hosts, they talk and they say, I know the Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior, and then they sit there and they cuss, and they talk about the music they listen to. I remember this one time I was listening to this Christian organizer, and she seemed like she was a woman of faith, and she was telling me she went to a concert. She took her daughter to the concert. She talked about what the people were doing up on stage. And I was like, you're a Christian and you took your daughter to that? Like, what's the matter with you? And they're on radio. And so they're, oh, it must be okay. It must be okay, you know, for these guys to grab themselves and to abuse women and to, you know, all this adultery and fornication going on. That's not Christ-like. That's not Christian-like. And maybe tonight, God wants you to let go of the things of the world. Just because you go to church, just because you're a Christian, doesn't mean that you don't battle these things. Right? God sends a prophet to challenge us in our faith. I've told people many times, the other day, a man was talking to me and he said, you know, Pastor, you shoot it pretty straight. And somebody said something and I said, you know, I get convicted by my own messages as much as you do, I'm sure of it. And that's how the Word of God works. It's not just for you, it's for all of us. But God has us here to provoke us. Don't fear the situation. Go forward, rather instead, in your next step of obedience. Sometimes it doesn't make sense. You know, sometimes you hear preaching and you read something and it doesn't make sense. But God, His power is there when you step out in obedience. Think about, he says, not one jot nor one tittle shall pass until all be fulfilled, Matthew 5:18. God, because he told Elijah to go, and he said, do this, pray that it won't rain, so God fulfilled that, and then he said, go over there, and he went there, and sure enough, the widow was there, and sure enough, the cruse of oil and the meal, it did not fail. She never hungered, she never thirsted, she had abundance what God gave her, and everything was fulfilled that God said he would do. God has principles in the Word of God, and sometimes there's very few exceptions to it. Think of this. Every day, the sun comes up, and every day, the sun goes down. And we say that because it goes down on us. We know that it doesn't actually go down because of, you know, but that's how we know. Okay, we have warning, the sun comes up, at night goes down. Well, there was a time in Joshua chapter 10, verse 13, where the sun stood still. God made the day to just, the clock stood still until the battle was won. God occasionally does something because he's in charge. He can do something that just bypasses every law because he's the maker of the laws. Amen. So in Psalm 37, verse 25, the psalmist said, let's go there. Psalm 37, 25. Psalm 37:25, I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. We don't have to worry about starving. God always takes care of us. That doesn't mean that I waste food and just be a wasteful kind of spender. But God says that he takes care of his own. And yet, we have an exception to that in Luke 16, 21, where the beggar was hoping just to get crumbs off the rich man's table. And the dogs would lick his sores. And he was a pathetic man by all human standards. If we would have seen him at the gate, probably that's gross. That's gross. He's got open sores and the dogs are licking him. And he doesn't even care. Say, wow. If God takes care, how come that man got into heaven? Sometimes there's exceptions. But I just wonder, that beggar, I wonder if he was right with God, or if he landed in a place where he wasn't in the will of God. Oh, he got to heaven. God tells us he went to paradise and the rich man went to hell, right? But God always takes care of his own. It's a shame when you have people that are begging on the street 8 hours a day, they sit there and beg for money. You have no idea what they'll do with that money.
That's right.
And all they have to do is go get a job and work, and they would eat. And just wonder, where was it that when God said, go straight ahead, they made a left turn, and they went over here? I wonder if we don't pay attention to the will of God, if one day we'll just turn aside and we'll be in a place and we look like the exception. Be there. She's there. God's there. Don't fear there, but God's power is there. Look at verse 16. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. So everything that we see in this chapter that happened, it was because God commanded it. God fulfilled everything that he said he was going to do. And you know, God's going to fulfill every New Testament promise that he has made to us, he's going to fulfill. You get saved, and God says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Never, never, never. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
That's awesome. And God's going to fulfill that. When he says his power is going to be through the preaching of the word of God, let's go to 1 Corinthians 1:18. 1 Corinthians 1:18, and sorry if I can't stop to wait for you, but 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. There's an understanding that we have as saved people that we know that the Word of God is so powerful that it changes our lives. But you talk to someone out there, they're not going to church, they're not interested in God, they're not saved, and it's foolishness to them. What? You go to hear preaching for 40 minutes on a Wednesday night? Really? Why? For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Look at chapter 2, verse 5. that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Our faith, our salvation, our servant the Lord, is not in the wisdom of men. It's not, it's like Pastor Branson said, we didn't come up with this faith promise plan. This is God's plan. And I like what he said about the tithe. You know, that's the rent. We use God's air, we use God's water, and we use God's space. So the 10% is nothing. It's just, thank you, Lord, for what you're doing for me. Our faith is in the power of God. You know, sometimes you get down and sometimes you get to a place where you have doubts. And you think about it a little while. I didn't come up with this. Where was I before the Lord was in my life? Now I have purpose. Now I have the power of God in my life. And he does things that only he can do. I can't do for myself. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4 and verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Look at verse 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. What's he saying? The power of God. That's what's in me. It's not in this vessel. It's not in our own power. It's because of God. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. The power of God. And then I had Romans 13:1, that God has ordained the governments that he has ordained. Do we obey the government when they're anti-God? No. Do we pray for them? Yes. Can God change it tomorrow? Yes. So what's he doing? What's he doing with us? Why are we being allowed to get frustrated with what's going on in our world? Could it be that God wants us at a certain place in the will of God, busy about his will, encouraging others in their faith, taking the next step of faith, and realizing God is doing this because God rules and overrules. When I preach through the book of Daniel, I'll say that over and over. God rules and overrules. God could have overruled when Trump won, but he didn't get in office. God could have overruled that, and God chose not to. And he gave us what we have. How many days, how many hours have we had hatred in our heart, frustration in our heart, anger in our heart, and we've missed the will of God? I don't know. But be there. Be in the will of God. She's there. And it might be a he. But God commands people to be at a certain place. Every day, we need to pray, God, bring people across my path and help me to realize this is the will of God. You have brought them here for a purpose for me to speak to them. God is there. He knows tomorrow. He's already there. So don't lose faith. But where are you tonight? Let's have a time of invitation. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Let me just ask you, are you willing to step out of your seat tonight and just say, yes, God, I want to take